This episode was recorded in December 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Hello and welcome to the Need to Know Music Show with me, Ronan McManus, here on Switchbox TV. Today I'm joined by a Mexican musician and actor who has enjoyed success in both disciplines, winning awards for his acting roles. And with his music, he's been concentrating on the Latin and Hispanic audience in recent years and is now making plans for the English-speaking audience. He's going to conquer the English-speaking world now. Please welcome Jorge Blanco. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Very good. So how have you been this strange year we've been living through? What have you been, where have you been spending 2020, and what have you been up to?
Well, at home. There's not much option, actually. Yeah, it's been a crazy year, but I mean, I guess I can't complain. Luckily, I got enough to work with and play around at home here in my studio. I've been working a lot in music and kind of preparing everything for the next year. And I was anyway taking a bit of a break to, you know, reform everything in terms of music style and everything in direction. So this helped even a bit more to even have a bigger excuse to, you know, take the time we need to have everything ready.
Yes, yeah, so you've been kind of, I suppose everyone's kind of took the time to reevaluate everything. And I suppose for you, you were naturally doing that anyway, by the sounds of things. You were kind of, so it's giving you a bit more time and space to work that process.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So, I mean, people will know you from your acting work, which you were doing when you were younger. And how have you found making the transition into working more on the music?
I mean, I think it's always been pretty organic because, well, first of all, the fact that I was first a singer, musician before I was an actor, but, you know, the things happen and everything just turned out the way it turned out, which was great. And I had a beautiful experience doing all these acting projects and awesome success and traveling around the world. And that as well helped me as big time as a performer, you know, like having all these tours around the world and everything. And after that, after the last big show I had, I was like, okay, it's about time for me to now start my own thing. And I think as well, I learned at that point enough for me to take on my own path and in my own project, you know.
I'm going to say you spent most of your sort of earlier life people know you from your acting. So what's it been like, sort of, you're now sort of concentrating more on the music side of things, or you have been the last few years? What's that been like? What's it been like?
It's been pretty organic, because I mean, the main reason why I started, you know, this career was music. A lot of things happened and it kind of transitioned to the acting a lot, and it was great. I learned a lot and grew up, you know, as an artist, and gave me a lot of good experience performance wise because I did a lot of touring, because most of the shows I did were musical. So that definitely gave me a head start as an artist, you know, because one of the biggest challenges as a new artist, most of the times it's that performance confidence, and I already had that. So I'm excited and blessed that I had that in advance, you know?
Yeah. Cause you played a musician, didn't you, on the Violetta show?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was it like doing those TV shows? I mean, that must have been quite a thrill, because you were doing it was a big show.
It was unexpected. It was insane that we did the whole first season, just kids having fun, you know, filming this show, singing. Then we had this 3-month break, which never happened after that. And then we were doing the second season. It was insane, the success. Like, we're having audience in every set we were going. Like, if we were going to film in the outside, it was people around the whole set. It was crazy, but it was a really, really cool experience, and traveling to all these places I've never been before, having people talking to me in languages I've never talked before. So it was definitely an experience.
Yeah. So, you mentioned your childhood. So what sort of age were you when you started singing and getting into music, and what sort of music were you listening to at that age?
I think I've sang since I have memory, I guess. Like, I used to sing naturally because I loved it. I was a pretty shy kid. It was nothing like I was not. And I think that's very typical in the artistic people, you know, that they're not out there like, hey, listen, I'm a singer. No, I used to do it just for myself. The only ones that knew it actually were my parents and my aunt on my dad's side, because she's a musician as well. She's the first person I asked, like, hey, teach me guitar. So when I was 5, I grabbed a guitar for the first time. Then I left it for a while. As a kid, I got bored and did other things. But I've always been so passionate about music. So it's always been part of my life anyway, until the point I took the courage to start going to auditions and all those things. And it just happened.
So what sort of music were you listening to as a kid? What were you into?
Well, first of all, I was a big, big fan of everything. You know, I used to have this typical cassette recorder, the toy one, colorful one with the microphone. I used to sing all the Disney cassettes there, for sure. And then I got my punk rock era, you know, those Blink 182 times when I was closer to 12. I had all that transition, Green Day, all that stuff. And then I transitioned more into the whole pop R&B world.
So that's all that pop punk Green Day kind of stuff. That's great for just as you hit in your teens, you were hitting the rebellious stuff. That's fantastic. Yeah, because what a great expression as well in those songs.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, and perfect lyrics for those times and those ages.
So were you playing guitar at that point?
Yeah, I was. I got like officially back to guitar when I was 12. I started, like, you know, looking for different teachers until I found one that was like, I'm going to teach you music, not guitar. And I was like, yes, I love that.
Great.
That's what I like. And it's been great because it's been my main instrument since then. And that gave me a lot of good basics to start. You know, I kind of taught myself a little bit of piano, so I'm able to make myself company, a little bit of drums as well. So yeah, since then that's been a perfect tool for myself as a writer as well. So yeah, it's been cool in the whole creating process, having those tools.
So what age were you when you started to write music?
Probably like around 12. That was my the first song I ever wrote. Yeah.
And how did that go?
No, the typical song, like, what should I write about? I think there was this girl I never told I liked her, and then she moved away to some other city. So I wrote this really sad song, you know, like, you want to go super deep and intense when you're like 12 and, you know, teenager vibes.
Yeah, I had a song called Michelle that I wrote when I was about 10 or 11 or something.
Yeah, most of the time it starts with a girl.
Absolutely, yeah. Why not? Yeah. That's the main reason why you learn guitar in the first place.
Yeah, I know, right?
And you think, well, you just, if you can play music, then they'll come to you. You don't have to go to them.
Exactly. Yeah.
That wasn't a song. Were you thinking at that time that it was something you could do for a living? That was always your plan. And at what point did you write a song? You thought, this is good enough to sort of for people to hear.
It was weird because it was something I always knew I wanted to do, but at the same time I was not trying to go crazy about it. You know, when you're in high school, start high school, and everybody starts with the pressure and what are you gonna do? What's like, are you gonna go to college? What is it? And you're like, and I didn't want to stress much about it. I was like, I'm gonna finish high school and then I'll figure out what I wanna do. But I was already definitely like looking at a couple schools. There was one school, music school, that was it was the starts of the careers of writing and composition. Like, it was still not, it was not like now you have so many branches of different things you could do in the business. And I went to that school just to get information, and they were like, we usually get like good scholarships for Berkeley. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting actually. So I never got the chance to get to that point, because when I was 15, I went to the audition of this reality show and I just got in. So it kind of like, the career was like, yes, this is for you. You stay here. So I was like, okay, fine.
So this was the High School Musical.
Yes,
you did. Yeah. Tell us a bit about that. Tell us a little bit about the reality show. What you, they were, you were you were trying to get a place on the High School Musical. What was it, a spin-off or something, or what was it? What was the
Yeah, I was already very. I liked a lot the concept of the American movie. Mm. I was like, this is cool, you know, having this. I was not a geek about musicals then because I just didn't know much about them. But I was like, this is awesome, like a movie musical. They're acting, singing, dancing is awesome. So when I heard they were gonna do some kind of reality show to find like the new main characters of the Mexican version, I was like, oh, that's fun. Yeah. So I looked around and I actually went to an audition before that for another reality show musical as well, where I did well, but then I got kicked out when they asked me to improvise dancing, which I didn't dance at all then. So this High School Musical thing came out and then I was like, okay, fine, I'll go. I went there. There was dancing as well, but luckily it was choreographed. I didn't have to improvise, so right. At least I had all the attitude, put a smile. It was Disney, so they liked that thing. I got in. It was crazy how quick it happened. It was a huge audition. I think it was around 20,000 people that went to the audition.
Wow, that's a lot of competition.
Yeah, it was a lot, but that changed everything. Fortunately, it was with Disney, so there was a lot of things being a reality show that they were really taking care of us. It was actually like a good image thing. We were kids. They couldn't do much intense stuff there. And it was fun. I learned to dance there for sure. And it was cool, you know, it was like an intense school academy kind of vibe, 4 months doing one main show every week, competing against others. It was cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was obviously the start of your relationship with Disney, which still continues today. So that was a really good decision to go to do that audition.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I would probably not be here the way I am if I didn't go to that.
So that would have led on to the Violetta and all the other things you did of acting wise, but there was always a musical thread through all of that. So it was always the idea that you were thinking, I mean, obviously these things were coming up and you were taking them, but with the back of your mind, you were thinking, right? You still wanted to do music as your that was always your end goal.
Which yes,
it's hard to turn down good work and good roles and things that you're going to enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. I was just letting myself go with the things that were happening. There was even like one opportunity that at the end it just fell off, but I was this close to be part of this like band. Mixed boys and girls band that were going to do a pop band. It had something to do with the Disney family, but it was kind of like apart from it. At the end, the project didn't happen. But yeah, I always had that in the back of my mind. And then when I finished Violetta, right in the, like between the middle of Violetta, I was like, okay, after this, I have to, you know, put my focus in that. I think I'm ready, you know, and I see clear where to go and what I have to do. And now I'll have a base as well of this fandom as well. That's, you know, I guess it'll help. And it's definitely been helping a lot. So, yeah.
And you can see, obviously, there's been the Disney family has created, you know, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake was it as well. And so many stars, you can see that it started from that Disney beginnings. And
yeah.
So you was that in your mind thinking, there's a history of artists coming from this and with having huge careers. It must have been very exciting to be part of that, thinking you were really building something.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely knew it was a good way to start, for sure.
Yeah. Excellent. And you've sort of built a good fan base from that. So it's been Those are all kind of Latin based things, aren't they? You know, how have you found moving into you made the move to America, is that right? And you've done some more stuff, English speaking songs. Mm-hmm. So, how have you found that transition into that? I know you did some stuff in 2017 and a couple of singles out.
Well, it wasn't that crazy, first of all, because I was already a big fan of everything, all the English music, you know, and at the same time, I wanted to challenge myself and go somewhere nobody knew me. You know, I was like, okay, I got this cool stuff going in Europe and Latin America, but it would be interesting to go somewhere I'm nobody and just try it from scratch and see what happens, what reaction people have with the music. And it was a very good experience learning, well, and being in a city like LA, which like you breathe everything in the environment. It's like competition and inspiration, and you, everywhere you go, you something about music. And I love that. I love that. And I learned a lot of things, and it's a different way of working as well with the Latin American way on the business. So it was great for me to gather all of that mindset of the way they work and try to mix, you know, the best way possible for me as a professional to find what parts of both sites I like the most.
I was going to say, is that something that you thrive on, that kind of that competition?
Oh yeah, I love that. I think it's definitely more of a, especially LA, it's such a go-getter city, you know. It's like you either stand up and go get what you want or you're done, you know. It's such a crazy, expensive and insane environment there that it definitely pushes you to go and just move and do whatever you have to do.
Was that a bit of a culture shock though, moving in, going to LA and seeing everything that that you'd sort of obviously seen on TV, and you're living there? What was that like?
It was crazy. For some other people it might be overwhelming, but for me it was definitely very inspiring to be around so much, you know. It's like, yeah, I gotta be part of this, you know. It just felt right for me. So it was a really fun time being there, and I would not hesitate if there was another opportunity to be back in LA again. I love it. It's I mean, at least for me it works.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, obviously the place kind of matches your ambition. You obviously got big ambitions for yourself, and it's, you know, you didn't weren't daunted by it at all. It was like you felt like you belonged there. That's
totally
really good.
That's
great. So the sort of studio process, do you enjoy? Is that side of things that you enjoy? You know, just the I mean, how do you normally work? Do you work first of all with songwriting? Do you work with other songwriters? Do you enjoy that?
And the
recording, how best do you like, how do you like working?
I have a lot of fun in the creative process. Actually, the first year that I moved to LA was the first time I ever experienced working with someone else as a co-writer. And it was insane because at the beginning, they were going so fast. I was like, okay, these guys do this every day. And I don't. Like, I came from this background of myself sitting around, and every time I had this block, I was just like, leave it and come back in a couple of days, because that's the way you do it when you do it by yourself. But then when you go to a writing camp, it's like, we need a song today. Like, you sit and you have to leave the studio with the song done. And it was crazy, but I did learn and gain so much confidence of not being afraid to just throw anything, you know, whatever comes to your mind. And I've learned as well, like, it taught me very well how to be a leader on my own projects, to be able to be like, this is what I want, this is my vision, and try to really help the other person you're working with understand where you want to go. And I've seen a lot of different videos of other artists I admire a lot, like, for example, John Bailey, and like all those producers and artists, the way they work, the way that they have such a clear vision. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And I've been trying to get better at every time I'm at the studio.
That's something that fascinates me, actually, the idea of pushing through the block, pushing through writer's block, because it's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And actually being able to have the sort of confidence. I've always worked on my own. Well, worked with my brothers before that, and was in bands. But as far as songwriting, I kind of tend to work alone, and I find, like you, I just walk away. I find that interesting, finding ways to break through that block. I mean, are there techniques that you use? Were they giving you tools to do that? Do you need other people to drag you along, or how does that work?
Well, lately, I mean, especially now with the quarantine, I've been writing more by myself than the past years again. And I've been trying to find different ways of getting my head, you know, take myself out of what I'm doing. Either it could be just for a moment, or just go jump to a different song, probably. And I don't know. I think motion brings motivation, you know, just doing something else or activating some other thing and then get back. It gives you a different vision, and it gets you out of that block and that stubbornness that you were probably having at the moment. And it was not the right direction. Yeah,
because that's something, obviously, working with someone else, they can help you through it. But if you're on your own, need to find other tools to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Excellent. So, looking at into next year, what sort of plans? I've heard you've got some new music coming out next year.
We've been working in a lot of new things, both Spanish and English. So we definitely have really good material I'm excited about, and definitely more focused on what feels right for me, you know, in terms of style, vibe, and what I want to write about. We've been rearranging a lot of things as well in terms of the team and, you know, all the plan. And at the same time, I don't want to rush it either. Every time I talk, I speak with the team, I'm like, whatever it takes, I don't care how long it takes, we have to do it right. And as long as we release this at some point, but let's do it right. And I'm excited, at least we've had the time to really work and things and plan things out. So I'm excited for 2021, for sure.
So do you have anything, a sneak peek preview or something, or anything you might be able to give us a little bit of a song title or something you can maybe give us a bit of
a sneak peek? Let me think.
Something you can just
I don't know, because we don't know yet which songs we're going to start with, so it could be, I don't want to get into this giving a sneak peek of something is not going to be releasing very soon because it was pushed and something else is coming before that. But it's definitely, what I can say, it's closer to a funk R&B wow. vibe for sure. Cool. Which is definitely what I vibe with the most. So yeah, right. I'm excited about that.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And we heard you have it's been announced, the Disney Plus show for next year. Mm-hmm. You can't say too much about it, but what can you tell us about it?
Well, what I can tell, it's kind of like it's a mix of comedy drama. It's definitely not like a sitcom or anything. It does have a linear growth in the whole story and characters. And the cool thing, it's going to be the first show fully produced in Mexico, a production cast and everything. So that's definitely going to be something interesting to be part of. And the story, it's an interesting, I think some things have came out, like there's this girl and he has three dads, how, why, and then what happens after that. It's what makes it fun.
excellent.
Yeah.
Looking back on your career music wise what would be a highlight? What was something that you would pick out, or something that you particularly remember and you're proud of?
Well, my highlights in terms of music was definitely, I mean, the show with Violetta made us do crazy things on the tours that we did. The biggest show we ever did was in Poland. We did a show in a stadium. It was like around 30,000+ people. It was insane. Wow. Even it being at that moment, being like, I'm in Poland with Polish people singing songs in Spanish. Like, what's going on? It was crazy. That was definitely a highlight. And then the whole LA stuff as well. And then I did this. Well, the very first time I went touring, like as a solo artist, was a big highlight. I did this opening tour for R5, good friends of mine. They're no longer R5. I think they changed the name. Driver Era, I think it's now. And it was really cool to see the actual, there was a lot of being an opener and receiving so much love from the people and having all that energy was really fun, because it could be hard being an opener sometimes, but yeah, it was definitely a fun and really good experience in Europe.
I've been there. It's tough, isn't it? Sometimes, because you're sort of, people are kind of coming in, they're not there to see you, and you're sort of trying to get reaction and trying to be.
Had a couple of shows like that every now and then. It's weird when you're like, nobody cares. And even sometimes, even the whole organization of the place in production does not care. And you're like, what's going on? It happens.
The sound guy doesn't care about you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But tell us about that. So, Troy, quickly, on the Poland gig, what was that moment like before you went out onto the stage, before you went out in front of 30,000 people? What was going through your mind at that point?
I think it's one of those things you don't really believe it. Like, you don't make it fully conscious until you're there and you're like, okay, this is real. It was weird. It almost, those things, and it's closer every time you have those big highlights in on stage are very similar to the first time you ever go on stage in your life, which is a very weird feeling when you get back. When you get down, you feel it was a dream. Like, it was not real. Yeah. And it goes by so fast. You're like, that just happened? Like, it's so weird. Especially if you add up all the adrenaline you just went through as well. It's not a normal feeling. You know, it's such a weird thing, but I love it. I love that live feeling.
And we're going to do a fantasy gig time now. So you're on first. And there's two more acts on. There's someone on after you, and then there's someone headlining the show. They can be from any era. They can be alive. They can be alive or dead, whatever you like. Mm-hmm. So anybody from any era, who's be your dream gig? So you're the opening act. Someone after you, and who headlines?
Oof! Wow. Good question. I've never had that one before. Let's say, you gave me a lot of power. Let me think.
you don't have to worry about selling tickets for it, by the way. they don't have to go together. It's fine. You're not promoting the show. It's purely purely for your enjoyment.
Okay. So, this could be interesting. Opening for James Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Getting close to that funk vibe that I love so much. And then having at the end something like, I don't know, now that we're going with the James Brown feeling, I think it would be a really good mix to have Bruno Mars after that.
Oh,
that would be interesting.
I like it.
It's kind of like this big band funk, full-on a showman feel. Yeah.
I think James Brown would be a bit put off that he's not. It'd be a bit put out that he's not headlining. James Brown's like, "Hey man, why aren't I headlining? Why should we be headlining?"
Well, but I was thinking that James Brown's headlining then.
I was headlining, and then Bruno Mars would perform. Oh, that's good. That makes more sense. That makes more sense. So that's brilliant. Okay, well, we'll try best to make that happen.
Yeah, let's make some calls.
Fantastic. Listen, so. You got the Disney Plus show next year, new music coming out. It sounds like it's a really exciting time for you.
Yeah.
And just want to wish you all the best with it, and thank you for joining us. We have one last question, recommendation. We always ask for a recommendation on the show. Somebody who you think people need to know. It can be someone that you know personally. It could be somebody that's just influenced you that people should check out. Take it whichever way you want. It's just somebody that people need to know.
Okay. So I got two suggestions. One more of a personal one that's some closer to me, and then one that's been kind of inspirational lately for me. The first is this really good friend of mine. He's such a talented guy, nice guy. He's from South Africa. His name is Sean Jacobs, and he just released an EP, a Christmas EP. We're in those times. But definitely people should know more about him. He's really good, and he has really good stuff coming up for him. And the other one, more of an inspirational thing. As an artist and producer, I've been going nuts more and more about his stuff, is Labyrinth. I think more commercially, do know who he is, but there's a lot of people more in the casual crowd that don't know much about him, and they should definitely go check him out. And it's a very interesting mind, especially when you go into the whole composition production that he does, like everything he did in Euphoria, and as an artist and everything he collaborated with. It's very, very cool stuff.
He's an interesting character, isn't he, as well? Interesting guy as well. You see with interviews and shows and that, Brilliant. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thank you for joining us. We'll put links to all the recommendations that you've said there. And also, what's the best place for people to go and keep in touch with everything that you're doing?
Well, pretty much on most of the big social media, mostly Instagram is the one I'm the most active as personally and business wise, and then everything else like Twitter, YouTube, all my videos. I do live streams every now and then on Twitch, where I do a bit of live music as well, so they can check that out.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Easy. Brilliant. Jorge Blanco, easy to find.
Excellent. We'll put the links to all that in the description as well. So thank you for joining us, and good luck with everything for next year with the new show, the new music, and we just wish you all the best.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Same to you guys. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me, and the best for the next year as well.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. There you go. Nailed it.
Thanks, Jorge. Take care.
Thank you, man. Thanks.